Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning and welcome to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for tuning into the show that celebrates creating and stories. Happy September. I, as you probably know, love this month. I think it's probably the best month of the year. I hope that your fall has been off to a good start and that you're ready to get together and tune our imaginations. I think I'm just going to pop on some music. And today we're going to talk about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And this is a piece, Paul Nemisto is my guest. I think I'll turn on the mic. Paul, a lot of our listeners already know you. You are the founder and conductor of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And you sent me this piece, Aida, the Grand March, by Verdi. And I thought it was a nice way to maybe just, it felt formal and royal.
All of those things.
Yes.
and very noisy.
Yes.
So it's an ostentatious, extroverted piece. It's the end of an act of the opera Aida by Giuseppe Verdi. The original performance was done outdoors in Alexandria, Egypt, in an old Colosseum. And it was it's a story about an Egyptian queen who's Aida, by the way. And, and for this scene, it's got, it's all condensed into an orchestra score, but it has offstage brass bands. There are elephants going across the stage.
So we have to imagine that, yes.
And a host of people dressed in Egyptian royal costumes and huge chorus, and et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's extremely over the top.
It's a grand piece. And it was, this says it premiered on December 24th of 1871. So I was thinking about that in terms of, I think that was close to the time that Winston Churchill was born. And as we're looking at the fact that Queen Elizabeth II passed away yesterday, that, she came on board when he was Prime Minister, and spanning those years, 100 years, with the birth of the current Prime Minister, it just felt like this was the piece we should play.
And I know that Queen Victoria attended this opera and that she liked it.
Oh, that's a good insight. Let's take a listen and enter our imaginations in the world of music as we celebrate the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra on Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that is Verdi and the Grand March. And what a just glorious piece that just sends your imagination off into all kinds of places. And I imagine in 1871, that must have been quite an event to have that premiere.
He's an enormously successful composer. And any of you that were listening to that or drowsing over your second cup of coffee, that woke you right up, I'm sure.
It did. And we selected that, of course, because this is going to be one of the pieces that the Canterbury Regional Orchestra is playing for the upcoming concert, The Last Rose of Summer, which is such a great title.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking of some way to commemorate the time of the year and what we're trying to do, and it seemed like the old poem came out of my. It's a British poem, and it was made into a song by von Flotow, a German composer, and Jenny Lind did it in her solo tours all over Europe and the United States back in the 80s, and she published a version of it that she used with piano.
Is Jenny Lind an opera singer?
She was a Swedish opera singer who was some kind of a superstar, sort of like a Rinaldo Tabaldi or something like that. Very, very, very famous, and has legends about her performing for kings and queens and everybody. Anyway, so we chose to use it as the theme, and then we found the music as well, and it's quite a nice melody, and our soloist of note for the season is Birch Carlson, soprano here in Northfield, the star of Arts Guild Theater Productions, and she's coming up, joining us for this. And so it's just a nice, sweet gesture that we're providing for the event.
Yeah, we'll get to that music in a little bit, too. I want to tell people that the concert is happening on Thursday, the 15th of September at 7 p.m. This is another one of those
outdoor concerts.
Yes,
go ahead. Well, I was just going to say that we started doing these a year ago. We were trying to think of something to kick off the end of the COVID crisis and the fact that we were back on again. We were performing again. So about a year ago, we did one of these concerts outdoors. And it was enormously successful. People just loved doing it. And so we decided to do it again in the spring, or I should say in June, before the big season starts. And so now I think we have a tradition of a June outdoor concert to begin the season and a fall outdoor concert to end the summer. And of course, this is an old tradition. This goes back, if you think about it, to Vienna, really, when Johann Strauss was writing waltzes and dance music, and he would do it in the gardens outside the Hofburg Palace. So outdoor concerts started of lighter music started that way, and then of course in the United States, the Boston Pops was the pioneer of this kind of thing. It was the Boston Symphony in its summer form, and they would play outdoor concerts in a collection of As We Are, light classics or well-known classics, and some popular music, and that's continued on, and most orchestras do it now. There's a Ravinia in Chicago, and there's many other examples of this, the Hollywood Bowl and so forth.
Yes.
So we're just following a tradition. And it's easy for us because we don't do very heavy stuff, and it can be rehearsed quickly. And everybody, the orchestra loves it too because they get a little variety. Then we can do the darker stuff when the snow comes.
Maybe should it be the opposite?
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you?
You would, but I've been to both of those concerts, and I specifically remember the first one that you did. What a great feeling it was to get back together, to be in an audience with other people, live music, and the setting at Oddfellows Park is delightful. If folks don't know, that's off of Forest Avenue, so the official address is 1011 Forest Avenue. That's in Northfield, and it's an easy park to find, lots of places around the pavilion to grab a lawn chair or blanket and sit back and take in the summer evening.
Exactly. You may want to, if you're within walking distance, I would leave the car in the garage. It could be a little tough finding a spot.
Yeah, but it's also just a great way to you know, be together. And it is at 7 p.m., so folks may want to be prepared. It might get a little cool because it'll be right during the sunset.
Right during sunset. And right now, the forecast is predicted for very pleasant weather for next.
We got our fingers crossed. I didn't look ahead. I was actually thinking that. Do you have a backup plan? Should we even put it out there?
I don't have any backup plan. But I tell you, I think what we might do is, if it looks like it's inevitable that it's going to rain, we'll come up with something.
Okay, so go to the website, which I should mention. You can find all the information about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra at northfieldartsguild.org. Look under Arts, Music, and then CVRO.
The concert is free attendance, although we appreciate the chance to accept donations, because there are expenses connected with putting on a community orchestra, and we need the help of the community to support us.
And I always look at it as, if I were to go to a concert, what would I be willing to pay for the ticket? And that's what I'll go ahead and chip in.
That sounds great. You mean like $15?
Even more.
Okay, all right.
Because I think you guys are that great. Okay. It's good, and it's important to keep supporting this so that it keeps happening.
That's my hope.
Right, exactly. And for folks that don't know, the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra was founded in 1979. It is a diverse group of volunteer musicians that perform symphonic music. And I love the fact that they're drawn together in your statement by rehearsing and performing this fine repertoire. And anyone with talent, experience, and motivation is welcome, from 12-year-olds who are exceptionally talented to octogenarians. And there's an audition process. They can get in contact with you if they're interested in being a part of the orchestra.
I check out their smile.
Oh, well, you have to play. Don't you have to?
No. We go by word of mouth, and people can talk to me about what they've done. And because a lot of the players in the group are developing. In other words, they may have played in high school and college and then lapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even from Northfield until recently. They've come into town. And they said, oh, I can play here. So they take out the instrument again, and they start to get it working. And then we talk. And coming to the rehearsals is a kind of therapy to get their confidence back.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine for you as the conductor, that's part of what you do.
That's part of what I do.
And tell me how you do that when you have people that are, you know, coming back to their instruments, maybe getting their embouchures and their...
Or their bow hands.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, if they understand that, and I explained to them, they don't have to play every single note that's on the page in order to be able to give us some support in our sound. They can leave out some stuff.
I've never had a conductor tell me that. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, you play what you can.
Yeah.
And by playing what you can, you will be able to play more as the weeks go by. And as you practice and you start to understand what it's all about. So if you come in, we don't want to have an orchestra of invalid players, but a couple who are growing, it's great.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think that's a wonderful thing, and it's great to see those variety of ages of experiences within the orchestra. And you have quite a crowd to draw from, because they come from all over the region, and not every concert has the same players.
Not always, no. I like it when I have a kind of an unwritten A-team, you know, the people that I can trust. But some of them have, you know, especially now we have grandparents who have to go to graduations and all kinds of things like that going on. So people come in and out. And we do have a pool. So we have a X number of flutes that are available. And we try to plan ahead so we know when they're going to be involved in what concert, or X number of violins or whatever. So, yes, there's a list of people larger than what we need to have on stage.
That's a fabulous place to be. And are there any particular instruments while we're out there putting it out into the world that you're saying, gosh, I wish I had some player? What?
Well, the most vulnerable and the most delicate of the instruments in terms of nurturing are the violins, because it's such a demanding instrument, and those that had some experience earlier may have been turned off by the how much pressure was put on them to get the notes right and all of those kind of things, and they kind of put it aside. And so, yeah, and the but, you know, the idea is to try to get them to enjoy the instrument again and to know that they can contribute. Mm-hmm. So string players, I guess we have a surplus of cellos right now for some reason in our, on our list, but that could change in a year.
Right. So if anyone is interested, they certainly should reach out.
They should get a hold of us. And I think probably the best way to do that would just be to go northfieldartsguild.org, go to the website, and you'll get channeled to where you can make the contact.
That's perfect. I think it's such a great thing to have that ability to reconnect with that instrument that you once loved and be able to, you know, find some pleasure again in
the
experience.
I have examples of older adults near retirement age who have decided that they want to take up an instrument.
Or to begin a brand new one.
For the first time. And there are examples in this community of that happening. One of the things is there's a real desire on the part of these people who do this. And there's also time. They're retired. They can devote a lot of time. And they're willing to learn. They can take some lessons and get things going. If you have a hole in your soul that should be filled with music, there are possibilities for you.
And you can also come and be an audience member, which is also a way to sort of fill that, I think.
That's true, too.
Being able to...
We need ears to listen.
It's a great thing. And, I'm going to ask you, because last we chatted, although I think maybe you didn't come to the studio for the Vintage Band Festival, but I'm thinking, wow, Paul, you just got done with this giant festival that happened end of July, beginning of August.
Oh, we had some guests from outside of the state that came here to say hello.
Yes, we did.
That was really cool.
And we had a couple of folks come in before the week. We did two shows because it was such a big festival. And tell me some, just to check in with you, post Vintage Band Festival, some of the highlights.
There were so many pluses on this 2022 festival. The first one was that the weather cooperated completely. It was like Eden.
No 100-degree days.
No sign of any disturbance in the sky.
Perfect.
And the bands who had been deprived of this for several years now because of the pandemic were extremely happy to be here. They come primarily to play, of course, but they also come to have a social interaction with the other bands, to commune with them, their friends. They talk chop, talk repertoire and instruments and all that kind of thing. So that's going on constantly during the festival. And they're enormously satisfied by that element of it, that they have the possibility. Some festivals don't give them a chance to do that.
Because there's a component of it where it's a professional workshop that...
There's also a conference going on with the Historic Brass Conference. And that's only because a lot of the groups that come have scholars in them. And so it makes a lot of sense for us to stage the conference as well. And the schedule works out great. We do all the papers and representations in the morning. And the performances start in the afternoon. So it works out great.
It was a great festival. And so thank you again for bringing that to Northfield. That'll be once every 3 years.
More or less.
Or so.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be quoted on radio with this, but 2026 will be our 20th anniversary.
Oh, yes, it will.
And so it might be that the board will decide to use that as a goal to try to do a grand festival on the 20th anniversary.
2026, you said.
Yeah, so it's a little further out. Doesn't mean that we won't do the one-day deals in between, but that's That's in my head, but only in my head, and now in your ears.
20 years. Wow. Well, it's fantastic. And the CVRO is another part of your musical gift to our community, I think. And they have been doing all kinds of great music. This is we talked a little bit about the programming of that show. And you said what I think is also wonderful is that idea of doing some music that's, you know, something that folks recognize that is a little more fun, festive, you know, lighter. And so tell us about putting this program together. When you as a conductor are looking to put together a program, are you thinking about the music that the musicians are capable of doing, or something you want to challenge them with, or what instruments can you feature? How are you doing that?
It depends on the concert. And for one of these, we're trying to definitely go for audience appeal, but then also that there's a certain element of satisfaction for the orchestra to be able to go back and play some old standards. We have a problem in the community orchestra world right now. It's kind of at loggerheads with the publishing industry, because about 10 years ago, a new regulation or a new formula was created in which a lot of the pieces that were available for sale or for rental at a nominal fee, the pieces that were out of copyright, shall we say, were re-examined and reclassified, and you now have a lot of pieces that were available in print back in, say, about 2000 that you could only get by rental. So you have larger expenses involved. I'm going to use an example. I did the Ferdi Graffé Grand Canyon Suite, well, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It was it's the one that's got some very famous tunes and a little bit of Wagnerian quotation going on. I probably rented it for a couple $100. So, okay, all right. I can do two or three of those in a concert that keeps under our budget. Now, for two performances of Graffé's Grand Canyon Suite, it's like a couple grand, $2,000.
What did they change then? Why?
Well, what happened is that some of the money is going back to the family foundation. And this is just a way for them to, I don't know, make more money, I guess, for the industry too. So a big orchestra can sustain something like that, the budget for that, but it just puts us out of the running for that kind of material.
That is fascinating, because that then means that music will probably be played less. It'll probably, you know, lose some of its, you know,
the presence in the community.
Yes. Yeah. And that makes it less accessible, because only the people who can afford it, which probably is going to eliminate a lot of, you know, groups from being able to put that on in a band concert. That's really intriguing.
No, it's also affecting the band industry too, the band world. So we have a problem here, and that's why a lot of us are kind of poking around looking for libraries that are on some shelves somewhere where we can borrow stuff. So,
so that makes your search for available music more...
Much more challenging.
Yes.
I mean, we have a collection of stuff. We have a couple hundred titles that we own that we bought over the years since 1979. And what I'm doing with these outdoor concerts, like the one we're doing in September, is trying to keep the budget low, because we don't have a known source of known large source of revenue for the concert, so we're trying to use available resources. So now this is the third one we're doing, I think so. So third concert, say 10, 12 pieces each. I'm starting to dig pretty deep into our repertoire list, and I'm starting to think, you know, when do we start repeating, or what's going on? How do I get some fresh stuff in here? So this is a challenge for me this winter. I'm going to be looking around for sources.
Right. Well, that's an aspect that a lot of people don't think about, and it's...
Oh, no, it's not. The audience just takes what they're given. I mean, and well, accept it or not. But, you know, we have these other issues that we have to deal with.
It is fascinating. That's what I love illuminating on Art Zany Radio. And folks, if you're tuning in, this is Art Zany Radio. I'm Paula Granquist. I'm here with Paul Nemisto. We're talking about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. The Last Rose of Summer concert is coming. And I think we should play some music.
That's sure.
Or I think we should go. Let's see. Let's pick out the... This will be a fun one to talk about. This is Memory, which folks may know from the fabulous Broadway musical, Cats. But it's an interesting version. I don't know if you want to say something before, or should...
Well, I was wondering what to do, because there was actually no sound recording of the version that we're doing. But I wanted also to avoid the words, because mm-hmm. I wanted to listen to the melodic material and harmonies and stuff. So this is the only thing I could find that looked like it might fill the bill, and it is an unusual version.
Yeah, we'll listen to a bit of this. This is André Rieu, I think.
Oh yeah, he's on public broadcasting all the time.
Oh, okay, I'm not familiar with him.
With a fancy flowing hair and a big tie on it.
He seems to have a lot of fans. That's what I'm gathering.
That's apparently so. I had the pleasure of attending a performance of Cats back in 1981, I think it was. We were in London with a St. Olaf group, and we had some time and got to see it. So it was fresh at that time. It was a hot show at that time, just new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's memorable, shall we say.
and it's become a part of our culture.
Yeah, it's a funny show because it's based, of course, on those
T.S. Eliot poems.
And mm-hmm. so there's not really a story to it. There's just vignettes of personalities.
That's a good way to say it, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's listen and see what your reaction is to this. This is Memory from André Rieu, and we'll take a listen on Art Zany Radio. Again, was Memory, which a lot of us will recognize. And it's interesting when music does that, when it comes into the culture in a way that you can't not hear the other thing. It's you have to really work hard to just hear the music. And it's a really beautiful piece.
It's a fantastic melody. It's
yes.
It's bittersweet. It has some nice warmness to it, and there's kind of an angst,
there's a haunting
to it.
A haunting
at the same time.
Yeah. And so I think I can see why it would make a great piece for a Broadway production. And they've amped up, I think, some of the drama in their versions of it.
Well, get the words in there and you can do lots of stuff. And also there's probably a real solid, heavy rock drummer in the background on it, too.
And you mentioned that your version is just a little different even than that one.
Not that much different than the one that we play. It's about the same.
Yeah.
But there's other instruments involved.
Yeah, it's a nice piece, and it feels like it's perfect for that sort of pondering.
Watch the birds go over, watch the geese go overhead, and watch the sunset. Perfect.
Exactly. You don't have to just let it wash over you.
Yes.
And I do find it fascinating when a piece becomes so recognizable that, you know, you instantly have a connection to it from something else. It's just music can do so much for us. And I think, you know, seeing and hearing and experiencing live music is such a great gift to yourself. It's such a thing that we don't do often enough, or we didn't do over the last couple of years, especially.
Well, we didn't, and also just trending. Cultural trends are toward electronic reproduction and listening to electronic reproduction and watching the tube and listening to CDs or whatever your version is, and not going to the public performances. Osmo Venska did a great gift to the community because he was
Minnesota
was so high class, so finely crafted performances that he attracted a new audience of people who just came to stand there and listen in awe to what he was pulling off. And I think he created a new community of classical music buffs in Minnesota when he was here. And I hope it continues. It was a great, great gift to us.
Yeah, and has he since retired? Is that
he left this spring.
Yeah.
Or this summer.
Yeah. I thought so. So that's going to be an interesting place for the orchestra, Minnesota Orchestra, to be and see where.
Well,
where
I don't
they...
think that they're in any kind of bad situation, but we'll see what happens.
Yes, changes, right?
Yeah.
So that's a lovely piece, and I would imagine too for the players that there's benefit to, you know, practicing these pieces and, you know, being exposed to this music.
It's the same nostalgia, except they're on the other side of the instrument.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they've played it before, they've listened to it before, so they have some of the same emotions.
Yeah, and that's a good experience for folks. And we've got more music. And this is a fun concert because of so many different styles that you come across. You mentioned Birch Carlson a little bit earlier. And, you know, if you've had the great opportunity to hear her voice, she's been in the studio with us before. She has such a talent and such a great gift. And her willingness to share that is wonderful. So, how has your experience been? You've been
we have a lot of fun, and we collaborate on how we're going to do the arrangement, how we're going to sort out the verses and all that kind of thing for every year. Now, this particular piece, if you're going to be playing it, it's actually a folk song that comes out of England, based on I have to get my facts right here. I think it's an Irish playwright. But in any event, not playwright, a poet. And so I'm going to leave it there because I don't remember the details. but what happened was Von Flotto picked it up and put it into his opera Martha. So, and I'm sure that the original rendition that they did in Germany would have been in German. But this is the version that's in English. And I initially found it as a reproduction of a publication from the 1880s that was published for Jenny Lind, the famous Swedish soprano.
The one you mentioned,
The one I mentioned, yeah. And so this is the basis of what our performance is, and then including then Von Flotto's orchestral stuff, too.
And this version is Renee Fleming
from
her collection, The Beautiful Voice, which she does have a beautiful voice. I mean, there is no one like Renee Fleming. And so
she's herself, yes.
It's a glorious piece, and I'm curious to see what Birch will do.
Oh, she's going to do fine.
Oh, I know. Don't doubt that. No, no. It's.
She's already adding embellishments to it, putting her own decorations on it.
Perfect. So let's take a listen. Just get a preview of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concert, The Last Rose of Summer. Just one night, next Thursday, the 15th of September, at 7 p.m. at Oddfellows Park. This is one of the pieces you'll hear. Will be with Birch Carlson. This version is from Martha, you said, the opera, and The Last Rose of Summer.
We asked her, but she wasn't available.
Wouldn't that be it? That would be quite the thing. Let's take a listen. Renee Fleming with The Last Rose of Summer. We got just a taste of that there. And oh my goodness. And she's just got such a voice that...
Are you tearing up?
A little bit. It's so beautiful. I mean, she has... there's a quality I was thinking as we were listening that sometimes I can't listen to the words because I'm just listening to her sound.
Right. And interpretation.
Oh, and I forgot to pop on your mic. I'm sorry. Oh, good. No, nobody...
And her interpretation, too.
Nobody got to hear you say that I might have had a little
tear? Yeah, I just saw Paula tear up during the aria.
Because it is, there's something just incredibly, you know you're listening to something that not everybody can make that sound. And so it's phenomenal. And you know, we only have a few samples of the things that are here. I guess we could talk about the things that didn't make it onto our playlist. They're also going to be a part of the concert because there's a whole collection of just some fun. I know there's Gershwin and people will recognize that. A little bit of, what's the other one I saw in here that I recognize? Grieg.
Oh, yeah, the Wedding Day at Trollhagen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a piece of Norwegian fluff, yes.
Fluff. But it's a, you know, you've got just quite a list here of things that people will be able to hear for the concert.
Yes, it's going to be an ear candy.
Yeah, it's meant to be enjoyed, and you have all kinds of different pacings. How is that for the orchestra to, you know, move between? So you've got this beautiful, soft, lovely. You've got a march. You've got.
I think that they like the contrast.
They do.
And if you think about it, that's symphonic music often has that. Either built right into the movement, mm-hmm. or sometimes the movements themselves are all different qualities of sound. Mm-hmm. So it's not that strange.
Oh, but it is quite a trip. And speaking of that, we're going to jump right into La Bamba.
Oh, yeah.
Which folks may recognize it became. I forgot to look that up. The
La Bamba de Veracruz. It's a. It was. Oh, is it. What's his name?
There was a singer who made it famous.
California, Latino. I'm trying to think of his name now.
I can't either.
Is it Richie Valens?
It could be.
I think so.
But it is something, again, yeah. It's one of those that transcended. It was first, you know.
I think this is Richie, this version. I think it is.
Let's see. I don't know. Yeah, it is. This is the music of the state of Veracruz.
Right.
And it is certainly recognizable, but it became like a worldwide sensation.
Yeah, it became a rock tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so maybe while we're listening, we can take a listen and look that up. But this is, you know, quite a different contrast from what we were just listening to. And so we'll just jump in and play a little bit of La Bamba from let's see, who's playing this? This is Orquestra Roberto Delgado. Let's listen. Vacation there. It was I love how music can take you places, and it's so easy to do when you hear something like that.
Yeah, that is La Bamba, but it's not our version of La Bamba. But
I was noticing might have been some electric guitars and
there might be
other instruments
around there, but this is a kind of a hyped up version of a mariachi band. Mm-hmm. I mean, the basis of it is a bass, a guitar, a harp, and so a fiddle or two. And then so they added a trombone, and you could hear some I think it was a marimba and maybe a vibraphone in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a more of a recording studio type band. Very good playing. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah,
it is really wonderful that I think that music can take you so many different places. And we are thinking about this concert. It's going to be next week. And you've got great musicians who've been practicing this piece. And I was thinking as we're listening, two things happen to me when I listen to music. One, sometimes I'm a very active listener. When I'm, you know, listening to how does the movement, you know, what are the chords that are repeated? How is it the sound is, you know, what's the story the notes are telling? How are they melodic or discordant? You know, all of those things. And then other times I'm listening to it and it's just sort of like it's immersive and it's a big picture. And when you're rehearsing, do those things come into it too for how you want the... So the players to not only know their part and but also the bigger picture of...
Yes, I mean, a lot of the rehearsals for this kind of a concert, which are just two rehearsals, are very short, time to prepare it.
Very disciplined.
It has to be. And then also it's very corrective. In other words, as soon as you hear something that a player is misinterpreting, either a dynamic or a note length, or catch it right away.
Mm.
And sometimes we catch it and we move on. In other words, we don't even go back and play it again. We just say, do that.
Next time, that's what you make a note.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because of the time element. And as far as atmospherics are concerned, I think they, so to speak, I put those in quotation marks, I think that the mood of the piece doesn't need to be described because the music isn't that unfamiliar to the players. Mm-hmm. So it's just a question of reviving those atmospheres from what we remember, maybe improving them a little bit. So it comes down to showtime. That's when we find out how the piece feels.
Yeah, because I was thinking, if I were playing that piece, I could be just like dancing in my seat, thinking of like, oh yeah, I got to be in time with these other people around me.
Well, hopefully you would be anyway.
That's your job, right? Up front.
Well, or to tell you otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a fun place to think about, and you also want to let's mention some of the things that are upcoming, because these are not the only types of concerts that the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra does.
We have a series of concerts as usual in the winter. These two concerts, the June concert and the September, are really new for us, and they sort of round out the season very nicely, the beginning and the end. We have a big concert coming up. I think it's November 5th and 6th, but you've got to check the calendar on that. It'll be a Saturday and a Sunday. And we're doing the Bruckner 7th Symphony, which is a very enormous piece. I have been dreaming about doing Bruckner now for a decade or so. I want to have this orchestra experience that very lush, romantic music.
I don't think I know Bruckner.
He was quite a religious man, but also a kind of a disciple of Wagner at the same time, which is exactly the opposite. Well, not actually, because Wagner wrote religious theme music too, operas. But in any event, he wrote delicious symphonic repertoire, and it's not often played. It's not often enough, I'd say. And one of the things that's so unusual about the seventh is he brings in four Wagner tubas, which are basically a kind of a different version of a French horn. Mm. They look like a sort of a hybrid between a French horn and a euphonium.
I'm trying to visualize this. And
it goes in front of you.
Goes in front.
And it's got rotary valves. And the bell goes this way.
Bell curves.
Yeah, and it's just a little bit of a haunting sound, and was used very rarely, very sparingly. Wagner had it in some of his operas. Bruckner put it in some of his music, and Richard Strauss, the 20th century German composer, wrote a couple of pieces that have it, that have that instrument in there too. So it's highly nuanced toward Germanic sort of Alpine music or something like that.
Horn heavy,
yes. And it's going to be a big project to put that together.
So that'll be November. Folks can go to the Northfield Arts Guild website, northfieldartsguild.org.
Yeah, we'll have that up there with the details.
And look for those dates.
It'll be a Saturday concert at the St. John's Hall, and a Sunday concert at the Cathedral of Our Merciful Savior in Faribault.
Perfect.
And then some of the groups will play for Christmas on Winter Walk. We're looking right now at targeting the library for some smaller chamber groups, lot softer sounding, and then the louder ones over at the Armory during the mini fair, Christmas fair. Spring, we have some concerts in early March. We're going to feature Marty Hodel, the trumpet professor from St. Olaf, who's a renowned
great
player.
Great talent,
and he's
going
to do a concerto with us. And then we'll do our June one again out at Oddfellows Park.
What a delightful season. Sounds like you have a good pattern.
It's becoming really easy to work with. It's not fewer challenges in terms of dates. You notice how we're totally avoiding May because of the fact that every group has got a final concert of the year, every choir, every band, every orchestra. And try to find a weekend when you can slip something in there. We gave up. We just said, no, we'll just do it in June.
And that's a good problem to have in our town. We're pretty darn lucky to have.
We are blessed maybe overly blessed.
Exactly. And I was hoping, I think we're going to get a little bit of, but I don't know if we're going to be able to get this in. This is one of the pieces you sent me was In the Steppes of Central Asia.
Oh, you can start it.
Because, okay.
You get the first minute or two and you get the essence of the piece.
Let's just do a minute then. Okay. I fell in love with this piece. I was not familiar with this at all.
Borodin is a Russian national from the 19th century, I should say, and he was very interested in Russian folk music and the Russian aesthetic of the time, which is being developed by him and a couple of other Russian composers, and this is an example of that.
We'll sneak a peek in at a little bit of this on Artsany Radio. Borodin in the Steppes of Central Asia. Just had that minute for a little sample of that. I just fell in love with that piece. It was transporting and just had a fabulous story. I felt like there was a whole world that was created with that music. So great, great things from all. I love being introduced to new pieces and new composers. And thank you very much, Paul, for your gift of doing that and keeping us all in tune and thinking about music.
Live music is best.
That's right. Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for being a part of the show. I hope that you always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. You're